Hi, and welcome to the Nat Decants podcast. I'm your wine-soaked host, Natalie McLean. This month's podcast is a lighthearted look at plastic wine bottles, Tetra Paks, and a few other newfangled wine containers. Do they really contain anything tastier than grape juice that usually fills these drinking boxes? You'll find more stories, the wines I reviewed this month, some delicious new wine-friendly recipes, and a free e-newsletter on my website at nataliemclean.com. Now sit back and enjoy this month's story entitled Château de la Haute Convenience. When it comes to wine bottles, glass is just so 2007. Today there are so many options for packaging vino: cans, cartons, and Tetra Paks. The latest innovation is polyethylene terephthalate, or PET for short, thank God. You might think that PET is just ordinary plastic, but it's actually made from resin and polyester. These bottles were first launched about 5 years ago by the mineral water industry because they were lighter and easier to recycle than traditional PVC, polyvinyl chloride bottles. Now, several wineries, such as Australia's Little Penguin and Wolf Blass, and France's Yellow Jersey, have broken with centuries of glass tradition and introduced their own PET bottles. Wolf Blass expects the new containers will reduce waste by more than 85% compared to glass bottles, as they have one of the highest recovery rates in recycling programs, and because they're used to make polar fleece clothing, polyester carpet, automotive parts, and other containers for food and drink. PET's lighter weight means lower fuel costs and emissions during transport. The new packaging is also convenient wherever glass breakage is a concern, such as campsites and poolsides. These standard 750 ml sizes are a third shorter than the regular glass bottles, making them easier to store in the fridge or in a backpack. The only drawback is that they're devilishly tempting to believe that they're actually single servings and down the whole bottle. They also have screw caps, so you don't need a corkscrew, making them very accessible and casual. As for how the wine is affected by these new bottles, the good news is that the bottle is odorless and tasteless, even in warm temperatures, so it doesn't impart a plastic finish to the wine. But the jury is still out on the long-term potential. The producers say PET has a minimum shelf life of 12 months, but what happens after that? Mostly, though, this point is moot. Nearly all wines are meant to be consumed within a year of purchase. If PET catches on, perhaps more wineries will bottle better wines in them. Nonetheless, the consumer reception to them has been positive. The LCBO sells 1,500 cases per week of wine in PET, and out of every $10 of wine sold in alternative packaging, $1 is now PET, $4 in Tetra Pak, and $5 in the traditional bag and box. But so far, they're the Venus equivalent of TV dinners. Quick, convenient, and forgettable. You can find recommendations for specific brands of these wines in my wine reviews at nataliemclean.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let others know about it. There's more information on my book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over, A Wine-Soaked Journey from Grape to Glass, and a free newsletter at the site. Tune in again next week, or next month, I should say, for another exciting episode. And in the meantime, drink up. Cheers. Natalie. This podcast and its contents are a copyright of Natalie McLean, 2008.